The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to BGN Radio, the only Eagles podcast you need in your life. This is episode 5, and it's powered by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist. Yell at me on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL. Joining me, of course, is the mastermind, the cult leader of Bleeding Green Nation. He's Brandon Lee Gauton. Brandon, how you doing, brother?
Michael, I am glad to be joining you here on BGN Radio, but I am distraught. I am distraught. Steven Means is cut. Carson Wentz isn't starting week one. The world is ending, Mike.
Yeah, so there are reports that Carson Wentz will not be starting week one. Obviously, this means big trouble for the entire season. Nick Foles is getting the start. Is the sky falling? Will we be okay, Brandon?
No. The answer is no. Well, honestly, look, we'll be fine. I'll be feeling better. It's just a little frustrating right now. I felt like Carson, you know, had made the progress after watching him throughout the offseason that he had a realistic chance. I get the whole, you don't need to rush him, but I didn't feel like the Eagles were rushing him. I felt like he genuinely was just making that progress to be ready. Apparently, you know, that's not quite the case, or maybe it is the case, but the Eagles just want to play it safe anyway and go with Nick Foles. And look, that's fine. He's the Super Bowl MVP. He's capable of having really good games. I get it. I'm not panicked, but I mean, I'm not going to just sit here and discount the possibility he also has a bad game, because we've also seen Nick Foles have very bad games. He looked terrible in the preseason. There's no disputing that. That might not necessarily mean anything. He might bounce back. He might be back in his Super Bowl MVP form. I would love to see that, but it's a little bit of a bummer, because this Falcons game could be a potentially very important game. The NFC is loaded, as we're seeing now, especially with the Bears getting Khalil Mack, and to lose that game in week one, I mean, that could end up meaning a lot by the end of the season. So just having Wentz out there would make me feel a lot better. I'm not panicking with Foles, but it doesn't make me feel as good. How about you, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally fine with it. It's weird to me because, look, a couple of weeks on that type of injury makes no difference whatsoever. It barely moves the needle as far as what the risk they're taking is. You would need a few months before you felt like really secure about putting him out there. There is going to be some issues with that knee and some worries about that knee, no matter if it's week one or week three against the Colts, like Peter King has suggested. So I don't know, maybe it's a mental thing. Maybe mentally it means more for Wentz to be able to get, you know, some extra time. But at the same time, you know, Foles, again, had a very bad preseason. He was dealing with a lot of starters out. And again, these are not excuses for Foles. These are just the realities that we were dealing with. We're not game planning four teams around Foles, he's still got to make the throws that he missed in the preseason. We've seen how good he can be. We've seen how bad he can be. He's a very high variance quarterback, but he does know this offense. There's no reason that we should start Nate Sudfeld right now. I feel confident that he's going to be able to run it. And like you said, it is going to suck if we drop one week one and Foles comes out kind of cold, because it could have playoff implications with seeding and all that towards the end of the season. But right after that, you know, we're lucky we get the Tampa Bay Buccaneers without Jameis Winston. And then we get the Indianapolis Colts, which looks like two gimme games, and everyone's going to call them trap games, but I think they're gimme games. So I don't feel too bad about it.
Is there any chance that Wentz does start week two, because they're going to be on the road in Tampa Bay? Do they just save him to week three? We did see Peter King kind of opine through opinion that week three could be the game he's back. What do you think?
What's the difference between two and three? Like, I get, because we get, you know, Thursday game, it's like 10 days or whatever it is. Like, that's a significant portion of time for Wentz to prepare. Why wait? It's like seven more days from one game to the next one. It doesn't make a whole lot of difference to me.
Especially if Foles doesn't look good in week one, right? I mean, then it's not like they're going to rush him, obviously, but I'm just saying, like, the thinking might not be, let's just be extra, extra careful at that point. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. So that's obviously, you know, the biggest news of today.
We got roster cuts, man. Awesome.
But yeah, roster cuts. I mean, I kind of obviously gave my take on Steven Means earlier, but man, here we are. Yeah, Mike, how you feeling?
We have we've picked this thing apart and studied it from all angles leading up to this. But one of the things that stood out was the Eagles going with four tight ends like we all thought they would. And on the projection pod, I started to go with Josh Perkins, but ended up siding with you and went with Anthony Denham, which was a mistake. So Josh Perkins,
never listen to me.
Josh Perkins makes the 53-man as tight end four. I think that speaks to Richard Rodgers' availability for week one, who was recently seen wearing a bulky knee brace. So BLG, how bad does that sting that we were both wrong on that one?
It's pretty bad. Because it was so obvious, right? I mean, we had the four tight ends part wrong. We just picked Anthony Denham just because I didn't know where Josh Perkins was at health-wise. I mean, he had a head injury, and maybe that should have been me thinking, okay, it's not going to be... I feel weird saying, okay, it's not that serious. It's only a head injury. I mean, that's a bad thing to say, I feel like. But I just felt like I didn't know what the situation was there, so I just didn't fully expect it. I'm not totally surprised they kept him, though, just because I was even noting this, I think, early on in the preseason, that he was getting more snaps than Billy Brown. And when the Eagles released their unofficial depth chart, well, unofficial as in the sense that it's assembled by the PR staff, but still, Perkins was ahead of Billy Brown. And also, Perkins has some NFL experience. He played eight games 2016 with the Falcons. I think he had a touchdown. He had a couple catches for them on a very good offense. So I don't want to make it seem like Josh Perkins is this really good player by any means, but I thought he was fine. I think he's probably a fine number three tight end until Richard Rodgers comes back, which I don't know when it'll be, because Richard Rodgers has been seen with a knee brace on. He's been described as week to week. But I think you had to keep four tight ends, right, Mike? Because if you're only keeping two in the sense of like Ertz and Goddard, and Rodgers isn't going to be able to play, and you're planning to do a lot of multiple personnel or multiple tight end sets, yeah. What happens if one of those two guys goes down? You're just going to not do like 12 personnel all of a sudden, or just, you know, have Isaac Samalo or Big V be that quote-unquote extra tight end in there? I didn't see that, so I'm not surprised they kept four.
Yeah, and to your point, if you're dealing with two very similar players and you've got one guy with experience who played eight games and you've got one guy that hasn't, obviously you're going to default to the guy with experience, and that fourth tight end spot is something that probably gets moved as Richard gets to health and some of these guys come back. Running back, let's move there, because I want to brag a little bit about Josh Adams, not because, you know, you feel bad for the kid because he's trying to earn a living out here and hopefully he sticks somewhere else. But what was surprising to me wasn't that Josh Adams didn't make the roster. It was that Wendell Smallwood made the roster. And along with that, the other big surprise for me, and I'll just couple these two together and we can kind of talk about them how we want, Smallwood making the team, and then you have Chance Warmack sticking on the team as well. Super, super frustrating for me. Chance Warmack does literally nothing for me whatsoever. And Smallwood has just proven to be an average guy. And, you know, we could talk about some possible running back targets that they may want to swap him for later. But how'd you feel about those moves, BLG?
I think the common thread between those moves is their position coaches think they're so much better than they actually are. I think Deuce likes Wendell a lot because not because he's like great or anything, just because he knows he can in theory be versatile and he can contribute on special teams and he knows the offense, quote unquote, and he can in theory catch the ball and he can get the yards that are there for them. And in fairness to Smallwood, he, you know, the third preseason game was obviously a lot more encouraging than we had seen from him earlier. But I mean, it's just, I'm not really super excited about it. And it's like, when did he ever really impress? Right. I mean, he's been a 2016 pick on this team for multiple years now. And there's never been that one moment where you were just like really super impressed with this guy. So, it's kind of a bummer in that sense. But like you said, I mean, they could pick up someone on waivers, even though they're dead last in the waiver claim, because they won the Super Bowl, which needs to be pointed out. I know some people may be getting a little tired when we say that, but too bad. You better not be. But so we'll see if they pick up another guy there. And then with Warmack, it's the same thing. It's like, it's clearly the only why is he staying around? Right. We all know. It's because Jeff Stoutland. Like, that's the only reason. Because he is not versatile. He only plays guard. You save $1.6 million by trading him, which is not an insignificant amount of cap space for a team that's very cap-strapped. I thought, you know, trading, and even if you trade him for a conditional seventh, I think that's worth it because you're getting some kind of, in theory, pick and you're getting the cap savings. So I just thought moving on was kind of a no-brainer. You saw the development of Matt Pryor. Now, I get that Pryor wasn't as good in the preseason games as he kind of was earlier in camp and generating some of that buzz. So I guess I get it from that factor. Maybe if they felt like Pryor was really killing the games and doing a lot better, they would have traded him. But still, I mean, like, they have five guards on this roster if you're counting Somalo in there, and it's like, do they really need to do that? So
yeah,
just a little frustrating.
Yeah, and with Warmack, like, what else do you really need to see? We've seen more development from Jordan Mailata, who is on the roster, by the way. We've seen more development from Mailata in the past few months than we've seen in 3 or 4 years from Warmack. I don't know how much better he can get. I know Stoutland coached him in Alabama and, you know, thinks he can turn him into something, but that has yet to be seen. And I have all faith in Jeff Stoutland because he's done miracles with some other players, but it just doesn't seem to be working with Warmack right now. As far as the running backs go, with Smallwood, like we talked about, a possible swap with someone that is hitting the waiver wire. Running backs that we could pick up include Rock Thomas, the former five-star recruit. He was picked up by the Minnesota Vikings and then dropped. And he's an Auburn kid, transferred out after 2 years and went to light it up at Jacksonville State. He exited early in a preseason game against the Titans. I think it was an ankle. I don't know the severity of that, but he had really impressive tape. I liked his college tape coming out. I felt like he was a solid day three talent that the Eagles may have targeted. Obviously, you got to see what's up with the ankle, but it's intriguing. The Dallas Cowboys cut Alabama rookie running back Big Bo Scarborough from Alabama. He has a injury history a mile long, but if you're looking for some type of bruising fourth quarter running back type that isn't going to get like a big workload here and we won't expose him to too much mileage, it might be a solid situation here. And I'm not even the biggest Bo fan, but if he's healthy, he can be a factor. He tested a lot better than I thought he would. So there's a little more juice in his game that maybe a coach like Deuce Daly could unlock. The other one who I know Benjamin Solak really, really likes, Ryan Nall. The rookie running back out of Oregon State was cut by the Bears. And Benjamin Solak, I'm sure, is going to have an article up on Bleeding Green Nation about him. He was a big fan of his game coming into the draft. Pro Football Focus had him at 77 of his 79 yards coming after contact in week 4. So that's something you can work with. Then, you know, there's Mike Gillisley, the former Bills and Patriots running back. He's out there. BLG, anything out there as far as running backs? Or do you think we stick with Smallwood?
I think it's going to be Smallwood unless I just think it is. I go back to the coaching factor, and obviously I think they'll try to get Adams on the practice squad and maybe Pumphrey, maybe both of them. But I think you just brought up, you know, the Cowboys cut Scarborough there, Mike. I think they want Donald Pumphrey. That's the guy that they wanted Pump before the Eagles traded ahead of him back in 2017 last year. So I think that's possible that, you know, we might see Pump going down there. I just want to hit back on the offensive line real quick. I mean, we cannot take for granted how amazing it is that Jordan Mailata made this football team. I mean, he had never played a football game until August 9th last month. And I remember just the first impression or the first clip we ever really saw from him was from rookie minicamp. He couldn't even hear out of his helmet. Like, this is a guy who came in. He didn't even know how to, like, listen to someone with a helmet on. And all of a sudden, now, like, you have Ross Tucker saying he's going to be all pro. You have Brian Baldinger saying, you know, crazy things about him. And again, Baldy gets very hyperbolic. But even Trey Thomas was saying that, you know, he agrees with Baldinger. Like, you're just seeing, and then Tommy Lawler, who's a respected football scout and writer, was saying that he sees some Jason Peters and Jordan Mailata. So it's crazy to think that, I mean, put that aside, just the fact that he even made the team is just a major accomplishment, because I thought there was no chance at first because he hadn't played football. How can you keep a guy who is not ready to play football on your roster? That's a practice squad guy. But it's clear that, you know, they made this investment, quote unquote investment, trading up into the seventh to get him. And even if he turns into nothing, I mean, I think he at least has shown, you know, like the potential to be worth that pick and the potential to be kept around. And I'm really interested to see how next year, how this year serves him as a, you know, a year where he can just sit back, he can learn, he doesn't have to play, because there are so many guys ahead of him who can play tackle. When you look at Lane and Jason, and then you have, you know, Big V, who, again, not great in the preseason, but hopefully he can bounce back. And then if you need to, you can put Samalo and Pryor ahead of him. So you're not having to expose him to regular season action when he might not be ready for that just yet. So I just wanted to take the time to really just, you know, give Jordan a shout out. And I had, kind of said this on a previous podcast with Ben, but I just think the mentality there is impressive too, because he easily, you know, he's so far from home. He's playing this sport he never has played before. He so easily could have just quit.
Yeah.
And maybe he still does. I don't know. But for now, he hasn't. And I'm like proud of him. I feel like he's like a son. I'm very proud of Jordan.
I feel like when I was listening to you guys talk about him after the, you know, the first days of the rookie mini camps and everything like that, he started from absolutely nowhere, getting yelled at all the time. And he has just taken that coaching, that tough coaching from Statlin right on the chin, and he's turned it around, and he's just done absolute wonders. So yeah, it's amazing. And before we flip it to the defensive side here, one guy who I'm very, very excited for, DeAndre Carter, has made this team the wide receiver. We're carrying six. So we got Jeffrey Wallace, Nelson Aguilar, Matt Collins, Shelton Gibson made the team, and DeAndre Carter. Carter promised his brother on his deathbed that he would make it on an NFL roster, and it's so great to see. He was seventh in the preseason in yards. He was third in yards per catch, had 10 catches for 178 yards, absolutely balled out. I wrote a piece up on him for bleedinggreennation.com. I'm a big fan of his game. He's going to be able to fill in for some slot reps and hopefully earn some snaps that, you know, we lost from losing Marcus Johnson this offseason. Marcus Johnson, I believe, played about 146 snaps, something around there, last season. So he's going to get a shot at some of those. How do you feel about our boy, DeAndre Carter?
That is one thing I'm definitely really happy about, Mike. I think, like, Carter really deserved to make this team. I would have been so bummed if they kept Aiken or Wheaton over him just because those guys are proven. Like, no, forget that. Like, Carter did everything he could to make this team. He joined the team 3 days in the camp, so he wasn't even here for the full offseason. And then he ended up being a player Eagles fans were intrigued by, and which was easy to see why Eagles fans were intrigued by ending up leading or being second on the Eagles, second in receiving, and then seventh overall in the league in the preseason. So I loved what I saw out of him. The guy has juice. He gives the Eagles depth in the slot behind Nelson Aguilar. And with Alshon Jeffrey clearly reportedly missing a couple weeks here, you know, it just made sense to keep that sixth receiver. And obviously Mac Hollins was missing some time too. I think he'll be fine, but just still, you know, he's had an issue. So I liked going a little heavy at receiver there.
And flipping it to the defensive side, defensive line, we already touched on Steven Means. It sucks, man. I put an article up on bleedinggreennation.com about, you know, is it time to trade Steven Means and put him at a place where he could get more meaningful reps, because he just hasn't been able to do that here because of the depth here. So just running down the line, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Michael Bennett, Derek Barnett all stick. Haloti Ngata, as expected. Destiny Vio makes it. Elijah Qualls is gone. Chris Long makes it, obviously. I think they like what they've seen out of Josh Sweat. He sticks. And then Bruce Hector, who me and Ben have talked about a couple of times, he makes the roster, as I think all of us here projected. But Steven Means, it that one hurts, bro.
Oh, man. I'll never forget the moment where Steven Means sacked whoever the Jets quarterback was at the end of the preseason game the other night, and like in sync with the fireworks just going off over the stadium as he's doing his elaborate sack celebration. It was like one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. I was so happy. I just loved seeing that. Great that Steven Means had a preseason, a great preseason.
Releasing Steven Means has caused my baby to throw a fit.
I don't blame the baby because it's very depressing. And the one thing I will say, I will give some people hope here, is that Steven Means is a vested veteran, which means he's not going to go through waivers. And it's entirely possible that the Eagles and him kind of worked out a deal here where they would bring him back after week one. Because the reason why you don't keep a vested veteran on the roster week one, if you don't really feel great about them, is because their whole salary becomes guaranteed for the season, right, if you have them on there. So by bringing Steven Means back after week one, his salary wouldn't be guaranteed for the whole season, and he can come back. But, I mean, it's entirely possible another team just tries to sign Steven Means and gives him a better offer than the Eagles will. So it would be a bummer if we lose him, but I think I'm glad that he played well, and I think he'll end up somewhere.
And then you look at the linebacking situation. I don't think there was any surprises here. Nigel Bradham, Jordan Hicks, no. Kamagrugé Hill, Nathan Gary, Joe Walker, and Leroy Reynolds. So I thought Leroy Reynolds had a good week four preseason game, and he flashed a little bit. I hope when the roster shakes out, even more so with guys coming back, that that he sticks on the roster before Joe Walker, because Joe Walker isn't any good. Cornerbacks.
Yep.
The surprise here is that, not really a surprise, but he was sort of a roster bubble guy. We weren't sure if he was going to stick or not. So we keep Jalen Mills, Ronald Darby, Sidney Jones, Rasul Douglas, and Avante Maddox, and Devontae Bosby is out. Safeties is Malcolm Jenkins, Rodney McLeod, Corey Graham, Trey Sullivan, Jeremy Reeves is out. Also, Chandon Sullivan as well is out. He had the interception in the week four game. Any surprises there as far as that second and third level defenders?
Yeah, I would say the only noteworthy thing is Big Bowles, if you will, getting cut. It wasn't a surprise for me. I didn't have him on my 53 man. I had him as like my 54th. It was just like that one guy who I thought he deserved to be on, but I just couldn't find out how to get him on. And look, Bosby had a great spring, but he wasn't the same player that we saw when the pads went on because he was missing tackles. It wasn't as good for him in the summer. And to his credit, you know, he played well enough to be in that first team battle for the nickel corner, splitting time with Sidney Jones. But then obviously he kind of faded out of that with Avante Maddox getting that time by the end of the preseason there. So kind of disappointing for him. He's actually still practice squad eligible, so I'm sure the Eagles will bring him back if he is not unclaimed, potentially. I think they also will see if they can bring back Jeremy Reeves and Chandon Sullivan. I think those are two practice squad candidates as well. But I will say this about Devontae Bosby. You know, he joined the team week two last year, and no matter what happens, he got a Super Bowl ring, so not a terrible deal for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at the waiver wire, I mean, I'm looking around and, you know, I see maybe like a guy like a wide receiver, Braxton Miller from the Texans, that they might look at, but they've got six wide receivers. I'm fully confident in those guys. I don't see a whole lot out there that intrigues me. And before we wrap up, there is, of course, the specialists, Jake Elliott, Cameron Johnston, Rick Lovato. I would be remiss if I did not mention them all sticking on the roster. I thought Cameron Johnston had a pretty good, pretty doggone good preseason. But again, looking at the waiver wire, is there anything out there that really sticks out for you, BLG?
Not really. And again, the problem too is just because, you know, they have 32nd overall, it's just very unlikely that they get their guy there. I mean, I'm sure they might try to put some claims in because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, maybe you get lucky and someone falls to you. But I would assume that we probably haven't seen every move just yet. You know, there could be some moves to make here still, depending on who shakes free. And then obviously they can start building the practice squad as of, I think, 1 p.m. on Sunday, September 2nd here. So we'll see which guys pass through waivers and who they can get back on the practice squad. I remember last year I was kind of bummed because guys like Byron Marshall. I just mixed Byron Maxwell and Byron Marshall. Byron Marshall looked better than Donnell Pumphrey did last summer. And I thought Bryce Treggs looked better than Shelton Gibson. But the Eagles wanted to keep the young guys for their potential, and that's fine. I respect it. But I wanted to see Treggs in Marshall stick around. And sure enough, they were available in the practice squad and they stayed there. So we'll see who gets to the practice squad and maybe we'll be feeling a little bit better. I think, you know, overall, this is a fine roster cutdown day. We would have liked to see some different things, you know, like Means either being kept or traded or Max being traded. But really not a big deal in the end. The biggest deal, as we talked about at the top of the show, is that Wentz will not be starting week one, which is also a bummer. But from all accounts, it sounds like he's very close to returning. So hopefully it won't be too long until we see him. And the 2018 Eagles will be at full force and we can really be excited about this thing.
Yeah, this whole thing is just kind of like the draft too. This whole thing has been kind of uneventful as far as from a roster building standpoint. When you're the defending Super Bowl champions, usually your roster gets gutted more like that and there are more open positions and battles like that. I mean, the biggest thing for us was, do we have a fourth tight end? Who's the fourth? Like, we're talking about fourth guys in the depth chart all freaking summer long. It's kind of incredible. So it is good to see. And we're going to be keeping you, gentle listener, updated on all of the practice squad guys as we move through this entire process. And we've also got some great content coming for you early in the upcoming week. We're going to have a new fireside chat with Eric Crocker from 4th and 9. We'll be talking about defensive back play and DBs for the Eagles. There will be two Kist and Solak shows, one where we bet on the over-unders for the season and another where we get into the nerdy details of the Falcons and Eagles week one opener. Then you've got the NFC East Supercast coming your way, where I'll be chatting with SB Nation writers for the Redskins, Cowboys, and Giants to get their spin on the state of their respective teams as we enter the 2018 season. Plus, of course, another preview show, another BGN Radio with Brandon Lee Gowton and John Stolness, which will be BGN Radio number 5. So we are covering this thing from every possible angle to give you everything you need to be prepared for the Eagles run at a repeat. Thank you so much for joining us today. And remember, 5 stars, 5 stars, 5 stars, baby. Drop a line in the review. We may even read it on the show. So do that for us, because remember, we all we got, we all we need. Fly, Eagles, fly.
I think it makes sense.
Hey guys, this is John Stolness from the Good Fight and the Phillies podcast, Hittin' Season, where I talk to Phillies beat writers, broadcasters, and fellow Good Fight bloggers, as well as national baseball writers, and the occasional interview with Matt Klentak and Gabe Kapler. Also, you'll get Continued Success, a Phillies podcast hosted by Justin Clue and Liz Rocher, covering all things Phillies, and The Dirty Inning, a hilarious podcast hosted by Justin and Trevor Strunk, looking at the very worst innings in Phillies history. Make sure you are subscribed to the Good Fight podcast feed.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.